The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. It's Monday morning. It's a massive week. We're going to be talking about what's coming up in Week 4 all through this week. Of course, here, Barton Simmons right there. We're going to have the midweek shows with a special highlight on the Georgia-Notre Dame, on Texas A&M Auburn. Of course, you know that we've got those locks. You want those locks. Come get these locks. The best way to get it is, of course, to subscribe, review, and rate. We appreciate all the interaction. Barton Simmons, three games down for those teams that have not already taken a week off. That's a quarter of the way through the season. So how would you grade yourself? We've had four. If you count week zeros, we've had four football Saturdays. How are you feeling about yourself? What kind of interim report would you give yourself?
Pretty good. On the experts' picks on the CBS page, I'm around 500. But it's so nice when we finally get past this phase where we're like discussing whether or not a 45-point underdog covers. Right. You know, like, can Georgia cover the 50-point spread against an FCS team like that? I'm glad we're through that part of the year. We're now, you know, last week we started to see, even though it was not a great week in terms of top 25 matchups, we got a couple of actual, you know, two living, breathing teams playing each other and starting to get a feel for who's who and what's what. And I feel okay about, you know, the way I felt coming into the year. I feel okay. I feel as confident as ever in my playoffs. Which is, you know, Georgia, couldn't say that last year.
Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. Clemson, Oklahoma.
No, mine was Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State.
Oh, that looks good. That looks really good. We probably gave you a hard time for just picking all the blue bloods, but looking pretty good right now.
I tell you what, there was a lot of. I was not alone in that pick in the CBS experts. I think there were several other people that had those four. Maybe two or three others had those four, or two or three total. So that's the first time I've been part of the consensus, and I can't say that I expected to be part of the consensus there, but I don't know. Those appear to be popular picks.
So re-racking our playoff picks, you know, I obviously lost my beloved USC Trojans. I've decided that I would slide another SEC team, be that LSU or Georgia, into their spot. I'll stick with my Oklahoma. I'll stick with my Clemson. I thought it'd be a more interesting conversation to go conference by conference and kind of see, as some of these teams that aren't up there at the top in the college football playoff discussion, but certainly are among the most fascinating, interesting, talented, and fun teams to discuss, as those teams have certainly shuffled in the way we view them, we're going to get a chance to sort of re-rack the way that we see these conferences. But before we do, I want to ask you, Barton, has Scout taken out to try to go with the lemonade stand? Did you ever have success with the lemonade stand, Barton Simmons?
I have. I've lemonade standed it up. And I'll tell you, the lemonade stand, it's all about high traffic. And if you can get some traffic, even if it's traffic, like automobile traffic, like you'll get some stops and people just hand you a $20 bill, so you can rack up some serious dough. And if you've got a catch, if you have something that can I don't know, be deemed as cute and funny in addition, you're in pretty good shape. So some folks down in Tallahassee had it all figured out. They must have racked up.
The Tallahassee Democrat reports that four-year-old Florida State fan Clayton Grant set up Free Willy lemonade stand in front of his grandmother's house. Barton, he charged $20 a cup.
It makes it even better that it's in front of his grandmother's house.
And raised $241 in 3 hours.
That's a good day's work, right?
His
there.
Father matched the $241, and they made a contribution to the Seminole Boosters to raise money. So the purpose of this is, we've got lemonade stands that Florida State fans, young Florida State fans, who said, "I'm tired of losing football games and being made fun of at school for being a Seminole fan." They are hitting that level with Willie Taggart, because if Florida State were to fire Willie Taggart, he would be owed a good portion of the remaining sum of his contract. According to Football Scoop, that number is roughly $17 million. Now, there is one line of thinking in football, college football, that's like, it's just money. Anybody could pull it together. You just got to get some donors. But I wonder if you think right now, like, I enjoy the fact that fans are just losing their mind. That feels very just sort of, I don't know, falls in line with sort of the Florida State ethos right now. But I wonder, at what point are you willing to creep into that part of your mind where you start to imagine that a change might be made?
I still can't get there. Can you, like, who would they even hire? If Willie Taggart was option A, B, C, he was the guy they wanted, no hesitation. Oh, Jimbo's gone? Okay. Tally-ho. See you later. We got Willie Taggart coming in. So you thought this was the guy anyways. Like, I don't know if I'm misremembering it, but it feels like it wasn't even people that disappointed to see Jimbo go. They were glad to see Willie come in, some new blood. And now, just a couple years later, I think it would be, it would, I still think it takes absolute, total, and utter disaster for this to actually be a coaching change this year. Don't you think?
Yeah. I think you've got to hold on. I think you've got to ride this one out, because there's not a, you don't want to take in, how about this? I would say the same thing for UCLA. I just don't think you want to take that job to the market right now.
Right.
I don't think you're going to get an attractive candidate. I don't think the trade-off of both the finances to make the change, both the buyout of one contract and getting ready to pay and probably overpay just so that you can attract a good candidate, someone that's going to shout out to our press conference grades, like, win the press conference. I think that right now, I'm comfortable laughing at the lemonade stand, because I believe that it won't end that badly this year.
Hey, so just to go down this road a little further, I'm just genuinely curious, and I'm sitting here looking at the top 25 and going, sort of envisioning the head coaches. I mean, who would Florida State even target? And we're doing this in real time, so I haven't thought through this. But, I mean, I can't really think of a good, clear candidate. Now, obviously, some will emerge as the season approaches, and some of the overachievers and hot names start to pick up steam. But there's really – like, that's the other problem with this, if you're actually trying to make a change. It's hard to really pinpoint – who's a realistic and worthy target. Can you think of anybody that makes sense?
I mean, you'd
like Mark Stoops.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he'll leave for a billion reasons, but in my head, the win for Florida State would be like Brent Venables. Like go get one of the, one of the top coordinators in the country that's getting 1.3 or 1.4 or whatever they're making, and just be like, all right, man, we believe that you are a really good football coach, and we just need some good football coaching right now. We need better execution on Saturdays. It ain't a recruiting thing. It ain't a talent thing. We just need more competitive teams when it comes to like the game planning and getting this thing done. You know, losing games against teams with lesser talent, that's got to go. That's got to be out of here. You know, I don't like a Dave Aranda. You know, just, and who knows if, again, those coaches would even want to take on that kind of challenge. But I think that you're able to potentially go there without having to run the price up for a sitting Power 5 head coach.
What about, give you two names as I just think through this. I'll give you three. It's just like ideas. How about, would Dino Babers be tempting if he can get this moving in the right direction again? Would Luke Fickell be tempting? And how about just old Dave Clausen?
Oh, hell yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Honestly, those are three really good names.
It's, you know, I think honestly, Florida State fans would be really disappointed in at least Dave Clausen, because he doesn't bring the recruiting sex appeal.
Sure,
but you know, it is a little bit of what you've been missing is just, all right, ground this program in you know, buy some bonds, you know, get some surefire returns here and stop playing the, you know, the volatile market, so to speak. So
are you calling Dave Clausen some gold bars?
Dave Clausen is absolutely, you know, government-backed bonds.
Security bonds. Oh, man. All right, so does he have any wins against... When I came in here 3 years ago as Wake Forest head coach, I knew I could be the leader of the Seminoles.
I tell you, he's given Florida State some hell. I mean, hadn't Wake Forest been a little bit of a thorn in their side? I know it was. I mean, they were all the way back to like, what's our guy's name that
Jim Grove?
Yeah. They were. I mean, even back to him, they had some issues with Wake, didn't they?
Jim Grove took 4 out of 6 off the Seminoles from 2006 to 2011.
There you go.
But since 2012, Florida State's won them all. Now,
so I'm just thinking of Jim Grove.
Dave Clausen had him at 24-16 in 2015, 8-point loss. Had it at 17-6 in 2016. Had it at 26-19. So 3 1-score games in a row. Last year was a little bit more lopsided, but yeah. But yeah, Jim Grobe had him going right there when he had Wake Forest winning the ACC. Never forget.
No doubt.
All right. Well, do you want to start right there in the ACC as we dig in here?
Let's start in the worst conference in college football.
In the number 5 ranked Power 5 conference, the Atlantic Coast Conference. No change with the way that I see, obviously, the very, very top. I would ask you for the Coastal, how do you have thing? And I don't have mine listed specifically 1 through 7. Mine is more tiers and clumps and groups. Is that acceptable for the?
I mean, I'll allow it, but that's
you've got
a
1 through 7.
Out.
Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, I can adjust. All right, why don't you take me through your Coastal? What's it look like?
Well, I mean, Virginia won, right?
Yeah.
Agree there.
Agree.
I got North Carolina too. They beat Miami. They look better than say the Pitt and Duke tier. And then you got Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. So, I mean, those are sort of my tiers. I got Virginia, North Carolina, Miami, Pitt, and Duke. And Duke is the one that I'm, you know, that you know how Duke is. They could mess around and win the division. I mean, without really looking good one game all year. But I've got them right there at 4, 5. Mm-hmm. And then I got Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech.
I've
Virginia
got
Tech. looked worse than Furman at times this weekend, and Georgia Tech lost to the Citadel. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, I thought that I was going to come out of here getting ridiculed for putting Virginia Tech in the cellar with Georgia Tech. And yeah, I'd put them a shade ahead. So my Virginia Tech is 6. And I thought that I was going to be outlandish talking like that. And you've got it too.
Yeah. I mean, at least because Pitt, I mean, what a classic Pitt game this weekend where you don't really understand how it happened. They only put up 10 points. They threw for like 345 yards.
They missed a chip shot field goal from the 1 yard line when they could have punched it in for a game tying score.
Like it just, it's all, I mean, it's very Michigan State. So, sure. You know, credit to Pat Narduzzi for staying on brand through the years, you know, taking that Michigan State DNA and injecting it into Pitt. But they, yeah, I mean, that's just sort of, you at least trust them to make these games weird and ugly, and maybe they do finish, what is it, you know, 5-3 and make it to the conference championship game. You know, I wouldn't put it past them, but but that is not going to happen with Virginia Tech, I don't think.
All right, to review mine, I've got Virginia 1, UNC 2, Miami 3. I still believe Miami's going to be a good football team this year. I've got Pitt 4, Duke 5, Virginia Tech 6, Georgia Tech 7.
Yeah, so we're exactly the same there.
Do you also have Wake Forest number 2 in the Atlantic?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, show me a team that's looking at least like it's got an identity or some cohesion right now besides the Clemson Tigers in the ACC Atlantic.
Yeah.
I've got go ahead.
Yeah. Go no. I want to hear what you have. This is cuz this one's interesting. So go ahead. I want to hear what yours are.
NC State 3. I'm
okay. Wow. Fresh off getting housed by West Virginia. You're going that high with NC State, huh?
I'm too close. I understand. Like there's a saying around the triangle. It's NC State. I'm going to say stuff, you know, but it's just sort of like the propensity to in those moments. Like there has not been under Dave Doran quality road non-conference wins, and there has not been often for NC State those kind of quality road non-conference wins. Everything about the rosters that we saw going into the game had us believing NC State was going to win, and I believe that what we see from the Wolfpack moving forward will not be indicative of just a really, really bad performance, and that kind of NC State stuff aspect to this has me willing to overlook that and still willing to consider that they're going to win a decent number of ACC games, especially in Carter-Finley and in conference play. So I'm going to keep NC State at number 3. I got Syracuse at 4, Florida State at 5, Louisville at 6, and Boston College at 7.
Okay. Whew. Yeah, so mine's sort of a mess. You are close to the situation in Raleigh. You've probably got a better handle on it than I do. You probably have better perspective. Maybe I've got a little recency bias here in a negative sense for NC State. I've got them down there second to last. Because their quarterback has Matt McKay looks limited as a thrower.
Buddy, limited is the right word. There is a limit on how deep those safeties have to play with Matt McKay under center.
Yeah, and the defense was just very disappointing. And, I don't know. Maybe West Virginia is going to turn out to be pretty good on offense. And I didn't watch that game start to finish. I know whenever it was on my side TV, it was West Virginia just cruising through that defense. So that worries me a little bit. So I got them maybe lower than I should, but we'll see. So I got Clemson 1. I got Wake 2, like you. 3, I actually still have Florida State. Because when I look at this team, they're still clearly the most talented team, not named Clemson, in the whole conference. And they're still, I think, showing some signs of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't given up on Florida State yet to have a pretty solid year. especially because I feel like they had some decent moments this past weekend. My number four team, you know, like this one. I got Louisville number four. I got a hunch about these guys. We'll find out. I mean, this weekend, Notre Dame might just get absolutely, you know, steamrolled by that Georgia offensive line. But I was impressed with the way Louisville competed in that game.
Sure.
That's really the only game we have to go off of. But they did handle business against Western Kentucky. They did blow a team out there supposed to blow out in week two. So I just have some optimism about Louisville that is, maybe unfounded, but I got a hunch about them. Boston College next, and this is where it's all kind of a jumble of teams that I'm a little indifferent on. Boston College, then NC State, then Syracuse.
Syracuse last?
Yeah. What have we seen from Syracuse to make us think they're good?
Fair.
That's the thing. That's where I'm at. Is because preseason, all I kept saying right was that I don't really know. I'm pleading ignorance on Syracuse.
Sure.
I don't get it. You know, I don't know what they're. You know, I guess what it when the preseason they picked to go, you know, finish second in the division, and I was sort of like, well, maybe I'm off here, but I don't get it. I'm not sure. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And now they've had not a great showing against Liberty. They get blown out by Maryland, a team that loses to Temple 1 week later. And they don't – and, I mean, a lot of teams are going to have that kind of performance against Clemson, so I'm not going to hold that against them. But we still haven't seen anything to lead me to believe that they're better than any of these teams above them.
I am such a sucker for Dino Babers that when he comes out of that game where they were just not competitive and, well, I mean, they moved the ball. They got it in scoring opportunities. They just had to settle for field goals. You know, they had some success. But he came out of that game still pretty confident in that locker room. And, I mean, that's his job. I understand that he's a salesman. And I'm sitting there probably as brainwashed as a Syracuse football season ticket holder, maybe without the pain of having to actually sit through losses and see your team get lit up by Maryland, a former rival from decades ago. But when he says, I think by the end of the year, we're still going to be one of the better teams in this league, I am holding on to that. I'm not willing to put him in the basement. I sent Boston College there for losing to Kansas at home.
I mean, Boston College absolutely deserves any basement treatment. So I don't disagree with that. I mean, how do you do that? I just look at, yeah.
And get fair. Like pushed around. I mean, very disappointing all across the board. All right. Do you want to go to the Big Ten or do you want to go to the Big 12?
No, we got to hold the Big 12 is
last.
That is, yeah. Whew, that's a tough one. Why don't we go Pac-12?
Okay, you first.
All right, Pac-12 South. Now I'm going to start Pac-12 North. This one I have a little better confidence on. All right, so Oregon won. Oregon actually I think is pretty good.
I think Oregon is a very good football team.
I think they're probably legitimately – I don't think I have them in my top 10. I think they'll probably finish top 10 in the country. So Oregon won, Washington State 2.
Yep. Putting them ahead of the Huskies.
Yeah. I've got Washington 3 ahead of Cal, who is 4, even though Cal beat them. But I think that will, you know, Cal will have enough bad losses over the course of the year that we can flip those back. Stanford is second to last, and then Oregon State.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Is that yours?
I had Cal ahead of Washington, but I'm not going to argue with it. I think that the – having gross ineptitude offensively for Cal is balanced out by elite defensive play. And I don't know what Washington does that's elite right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think – I don't know what's going on at Washington. Maybe we just have too high – like the expectations got a little bit too high where we shouldn't just expect them to be contending for playoffs every year yet. But – they've tailed off a little bit. And I just feel like they should be better.
I think that we hold different expectations for the Chris Peterson Washington program than Chris Peterson even does.
Right. I think that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. And I think that he's like, oh, well, we lost the football game. No big deal. There'll be another one. Time to go back to the drawing board. It's just football, guys.
Right.
And you and I are like, what? How did you let this happen? Like, we are putting life and death stakes on like the outcomes of whether or not the Washington's going to win enough games in the right spots to be able to contend for a playoff. And I don't think that's the view inside that building in Seattle.
I do think that let's see what they do. I mean, ultimately they did score a lot of points against Hawaii. They really only have, of the three games, their offense has really only looked bad once of the three. Cal's going to make some other people look bad, but let's see how their offense looks the rest of the year. But I think there's a little bit of reason for hesitation in that, you know, or did we just, was Jonathan Smith a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was that not having him around a big deal? I don't know. They've got, to me, talented receivers. They've got talented running backs. They've got NFL offensive linemen. They've got an NFL quarterback. What else do you need to have a really good offense? If you just swapped personnel change their jersey, swap personnel, put this Washington team, I don't know, pick a team.
USC?
US. Well, no, I was thinking like a team that typically otherwise does deliver, like Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma. You know, if you just sort of put these guys in one of those uniforms and vice versa, I kind of have a hunch that they'd be a little bit more efficient in those other uniforms. But that could be overstepping things.
It never seems easy for this Washington team.
Right.
That could be coaching, as you mentioned. All right, I'll take the... So I just have Washington and Cal flipped from yours, and Stanford at 5 is shocking to me. So my Pac-12 South, USC 1, just kidding. Utah 1, USC 2, Arizona State 3, Arizona 4, Colorado 5, UCLA 19th.
Right. Right. UCLA in the Mountain West.
Right. Absolutely. Relegation 100%.
Yeah. San Diego State 6th. Yeah, I'm with you.
All the way?
Mine's actually slightly different. I got Utah 1. I've got Arizona State at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a little bit of an overreaction. I think, obviously, USC is still a... more talented team probably, but I just got a feeling that this Arizona State team, particularly with the way the defense has played early in the season, I think it's more likely the offense gets better and meets the defense where it is than not. And especially because I think Jaden Daniels has a little bit of some nice intangibles to him, confidence, Benjamin, we know. So I just sort of like the way they gutted that one out against Michigan State. So I'm going them to... I trust them more. USC, tough game. They didn't gut out, so I'm putting them behind Arizona State. And then I trust Colorado more than I trust Arizona, though I think that was a quality win to beat Texas Tech. And then UCLA needs no explanation.
How do you think right now, from what we've seen from Colorado, tough overtime loss to Air Force over the weekend, unable to replicate their their overtime heroics. Do you think that that team is going to be a bowl team this year?
Without looking at their schedule, what are they at? They got 2-1 right now. Mm-hmm. So without looking at their schedules, they got to get four.
They got to go 4-5
wins.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I lean yes.
I know.
I lean yes. I lean they get to 6-6.
I've changed my tone big time on Colorado, and the math helps when you beat Nebraska. Like, if you're going into the season, the win total was set at 4.5. That's probably the odds makers looking at the Nebraska game and being like, all right, if it, you know, if they beat Nebraska, that's your 5-7. If they lose, that's your 4-8. They win that game. So in my head, I'm like, all right, so you're probably at 5-7. Have they exceeded expectations, or have you improved your power rating of Colorado enough that you think they will get one more conference win than you thought they were going to get heading into the season? My answer is, yeah, I think so. I mean, there's other, like, there's certainly not in a Pac-12 that at first I thought was really, really fluid. I do think that there's some games that they should expect to win. So, should be interesting. Coming up on the other side, we will take a look at re-racking our rankings for the Big 12, the Big 10, and the Southeastern Conference. Next.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, you want to go Big Ten?
Yeah, let's do Big Ten.
All right, I'll start with the Big Ten East. I got your beloved 19 or the 2020 Tesla performance sports car Ohio State Buckeyes at number one, going Penn State number two, Michigan at three, Maryland at four, Michigan State at five, Indiana Rutgers.
Interesting. I wonder if most, I would guess that most people, I've got Ohio State one, Penn State two also. I would suspect, even with all the preseason Michigan hoopla and hype, don't you think probably most people would agree with that assessment right now?
Yes.
Or no? Do you think that there's still a pretty strong Michigan contingent out there that thinks they're the second best team in the division?
I think that Penn State is not perfect. I'm not saying that Penn State is, you know, has dominated their way and seized their way to that number two spot. I see in sort of my mind, both Penn State and Michigan have their failings, but Penn State, because of its explosiveness, like with KJ Hamler, Ricky Slade, like it just seems like they're a more dangerous football team because of an apparent advantage and just sort of overall team speed.
Right. I agree with that. Michigan or Penn State is to me kind of a team I could see trudging through a game where they've got 80 plays and on 76 of those plays, they're averaging 3.4 yards per play. And on the other four, they go for 70.
Right.
You know,
yes. Like it's just, yeah.
And so that I think gives them something.
Michigan doesn't have that. I don't look at Michigan and I'm like, boy, you've got 3 to 4 game changing explosive play touchdowns or, you know, explosives in your offense right now. Cause I just haven't seen it.
Right. So yeah, I've got, this will be interesting what you think of this. I got Ohio State 1, Penn State 2 also. So 3, 4, 5 is Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland. Am I crazy for thinking Michigan? Because Michigan State is sort of the deal where, I mean, identity is important to me.
Culture is important to Barton.
Yeah, like I value those sort of things. Yeah. Who are you at your core? Who are you?
You get so guttural when you start talking about it.
I know who Michigan State is.
Sure.
That what they did against Arizona State, that is a Michigan State team. Mm-hmm. It's almost comforting. Oh man, there they are. Man, those are my guys, Michigan State. Oh, good close loss, guys.
They came out with the tire iron.
Yeah. Like that's if that was a 45-42 shootout that they lost, then maybe I would have lost a little faith in their who they are. But I still think when Michigan State plays Michigan, I feel like I know how that game's going to go. Michigan State is going to drag Michigan down into the pit and they're going to fight their style. And Michigan still might win that game, but I think there's something to be said for being able to dictate the style. And I think that, you know, I don't know if that explanation is warrants this, but I just like Michigan State a little better right now. Look, I fully grant that Michigan could iron this all out and be looking clean and pretty a couple weeks in here. But right now, I like Michigan State a little more, followed by Michigan, followed by a Maryland team that may have been a little fool's gold in week two. Maybe that Syracuse team.
No.
Good.
See, I came back. You and I were even talking about Maryland in this way. I was wondering why it was a sort of a sticky conversation for me mentally. And I think it was because we had it on this podcast and we were trying to figure out, you know, how to remember Maryland had those kind of a weird season last year. And they had that wild game with Ohio State. They obviously started the year by beating Texas. And we were trying to sort of put our finger on the Terps. And it really had to do with the hit and miss. Like they were hit and miss offensively. You know, they've got, you know, Anthony McFarland, and they've got some awesome skill position players, but you watch them on a down-to-down basis, and they don't look good, but they hit enough of those plays, so enough that they are able to, when they get rolling, be able to beat up on a team like Syracuse. But when it doesn't happen, you know, they're going to get into a rock fight with Temple and, you know, not be able to come out with those key plays that they need. I thought Josh Jackson looked bad. I thought my guy, Josh Jackson looked bad. And watching a lot of that Maryland Temple game sort of had me back in that mindset of, oh yeah, Maryland is dangerous because of the athleticism of their skill position players, but they're not good enough to replicate that success on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good take on it and perspective. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm being all of a sudden dismissive of Maryland because they lost to Temple. Ohio State's clearly the best team in the division. I think Penn State is slightly ahead of the others at number two, and Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland, you could shuffle them up, and I wouldn't have a major argument with any order of that, which is kind of crazy to say. Like I think it's defensible to have Maryland third.
Right.
I think it's defensible to have Michigan State third. I think it's defensible to have Michigan third, obviously. And probably the safest bet here is that Michigan's third. Like that is very easy to envision Michigan getting this figured out and looking sharp or whatever. But
I think Michigan being in this conversation with Maryland and Michigan State is indicative of the disappointment. Michigan should not be in a conversation for third place with Michigan State and Maryland.
Well, look, they're playing. They're going to Wisconsin this weekend.
I know. I'm so excited. Finally, for both those teams.
And they're a 3-point underdog, I believe. Isn't that right? And they're so which basically says Vegas is calling them a pick 'em on a neutral field. I'm just going to be very interested to see what the public money does on that Vegas line.
How that line dances from
here?
Yeah,
is that going to be? Are people going to agree with that? Are people going to still start to jump on Michigan and feel like there's value there, or is that line going to climb because everyone's abandoned ship on Michigan? That I think that's going to be telling.
Mm. All right. So you want to? Oh, we got to do the Big Ten West.
We got to do the West.
All right. I've got Wisconsin 1.
Yes.
Iowa 2.
Yes.
Northwestern 3.
Ooh, okay.
Nebraska 4, Minnesota 5, Purdue 6, and Tom Fornelli's Fighting Illini number 7.
I mean, mine is the exact same as yours, except for take Northwestern out of 3 and move them down to 6 behind Purdue.
Wow. All right, so make the Minnesota argument for me.
It's a little bit of the similar to the Michigan State argument. Is it's been ugly, but they've won 3 games against 3 teams that are pretty tricky non-conference teams. I mean, who's the genius that said scheduled South Dakota State and Fresno State and Georgia Southern in 1 year? Who is that? Who is that guy? Help us out a little bit.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Can you mix in a bad MAC team? Mix in a directional Michigan team. Oh, Eastern Michigan, they would disagree with that. But, mix in an FCS team that we could stretch our legs with a little bit. I think those wins count. And so I like the fact that they, in fact, I toyed with having them above Nebraska, just because in some ways I think what they've done is more impressive. They've won some close games against some, I think, quality teams. Nebraska was lucky to get out of. I mean, Nebraska couldn't even move the ball against South Alabama effectively. So and Nebraska collapsed against Colorado. I just think there's still some flaws Nebraska is working through. And the Northwestern one is where I want to hear from you. Like, do you have trust in this Northwestern team, or is it just, hey, your classic Northwestern team? It's never going to look pretty, but they're going to figure out a way to win.
Right. Yeah. It is. It's far more of a program endorsement, than specific. We haven't seen much. And I do. I mean, we get them against Michigan State. They go Michigan State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, Iowa as their next couple games. So we could come out of this and with a little bit of a different tune. But I'm going to say they get at least one of those. And so we'll see how it goes from here. I think that maybe I'm putting too much in the program.
I don't know. Like, they're only going to be favored in like 2 more games this year, I think.
Wow.
I mean, maybe they'll be favored against Purdue.
You don't think? They'll be favored against Purdue and Illinois.
Right. I'm sorry. So So UMass and UMass. Right. So are they favored against Purdue? Are they favored at Indiana? I don't think they'll be favored at Indiana.
Damn. Northwestern might not be a bowl team.
But they might be. And they might be too.
I know.
That's the thing about Northwestern, is it's just such a weird.
I'm like, I'm sitting here throwing them in the middle of the Big Ten West because, of course, they'll figure it out. They're Northwestern.
Yeah, I'm not a believer. And yet I won't be surprised if they beat Ohio State.
On a Friday, because it's like a Friday night game.
I think.
It's going to end up being 20-19, and something crazy is going to happen. All right.
SEC.
Do you want?
Let's go East first.
Okay.
All right. Georgia won.
Yeah.
Who you got? Two.
Florida.
I put Missouri too.
So my argument for Florida, and I thought about this a lot because I'm very much down on the Gators, but they've got dudes. That was my explanation, is when nothing's really working and when it seems like you're up against it and Felipe Franks has been knocked out, you know what? That pass to Josh Hammond only needs to go about 2 yards. He'll take it the other 75. Like they've got some extraordinary talent at a couple of positions, and I think that is some put you over the top type stuff. I do not think they are a fantastic team, but I think that they are a capable team, and the way that they separate themselves from Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina is with dudes. And so that's why I got Florida too.
See, I just feel like this year with Florida's offensive line not being great, with them having some, you know, being a little banged up and not being quite as deep on defense, it just doesn't feel like this is a year where it goes chalk 1-2. Like, it just feels like someone else sneaks up into that number 2 spot in the division. And Missouri strikes me as the best candidate. It's just kind of my hunch. I got Florida 3. Who do you have 3?
At number 3, I've got Kentucky.
Right. And I've got Kentucky 4.
Missouri 4.
Okay. South Carolina,
Tennessee, Vandy.
Yeah, and South Carolina, on review so far of that Alabama game, I think they showed some encouraging signs. And it feels like it feels like most South Carolina fans are come away from that game more encouraged than not, even though it was a blowout. But that, you know, I think that's good. Those are going to be some good games between like Kentucky and like that Missouri, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina tier. There's going to be some really good games amongst them. And I wouldn't put it past Tennessee and Vanderbilt to being right there with that tier. Like, it could just be Georgia and a whole mess of second tier.
Right. I do not believe. And that's the thing. That was like the, when it comes to picking a SEC champion or a conference champs, just re-racking the conference champs, I didn't think was going to have much intrigue or conversation, because it's interesting to talk about who the second best team in the SEC East is. But it ain't interesting to talk about the first, because Georgia exists way above the rest of that group.
Right.
Are you going to make any changes in the West to the top?
I am.
Oh, yes! All right. So I've got Alabama still at number 1.
I got LSU at 1.
Yeah.
I think part of my concern is that, I mean, Alabama, now LeBryan Ray sounds like he's maybe out for an extended period of time, if not the season. And so now we got potentially two true freshman defensive linemen starting, two true freshman linebackers starting. I think the way things are going with LSU is these games are going to start turning into shootouts. And when it's a shootout, then you're just talking about, hey, one or two plays here and there, the difference. And it's not like to where I think LSU is clearly the better team than Alabama. I think they seem to be like, this just doesn't, the year doesn't seem to be going Alabama's way. Does that make sense? Like, it doesn't, with the injuries they've had, with the way the game is moving, and with LSU sort of seeming to have found themselves offensively in a way that they can maximize their talent, I think if I were re-racking it today, I just think I have a little more confidence in LSU.
There, I never really was a, like, you know, ride or die for the brand of Alabama football. I didn't hate Alabama football growing up, but didn't love Alabama football. It's really been something that's been nurtured in me here in the Saban era, probably because of proximity, working for CBS Sports and being so close to the SEC. So let me tap into the little Alabama homer of my brain. You ready for this hot take?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really better for Alabama come like the postseason to have all these freshmen playing because they won't be thinking about the NFL draft.
Ooh, okay. All right.
They're still going to be they're still deep in the process. The focus of the process is in full command. Your mind isn't drifting elsewhere. This is only going to make Alabama better. No, the depth is certainly an issue. And when we consider it with the way that Alabama plays right now, with you know, just pushing the ball down the field, spreading it out among the wide receivers, scoring a lot, Alabama gets in shootouts right now. And so Alabama LSU, you're 100% right. Alabama LSU played that 9-6 game in 2011, and in 2019 it's going to be 50-45.
It really, yeah.
And the team that is not deep and who is going to be gassed out there on those final possessions where you need to stop, that's probably going to be Alabama. That is like very real concern. And I've got LSU number two, so no argument. I think it's fun that you took a swing at it. I believe this will be out here. This will be out shortly on Monday, but I will break some news here in minute 49. If it hasn't happened.
All right. RIP the mentions from the Bama fans.
Alabama jumped Clemson for number one in our CBS Sports 130.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder why that would be.
People jumping. I mean, Trevor, with every interception that Trevor Lawrence throws, people start doubting the long-haired chosen one.
Well, I mean, here's the and this is more predict, like what we're doing right now is basically predicting order of finish.
Right.
And I still have in my CBS 130, I still have Alabama number one because they're number one to start the season. They still haven't shown any, you know, they've still been playing good football. I think they deserve to be the number one team. And they, you know, they didn't have their best showing defensively against South Carolina, and they won by whatever they won by, 26 or whatever it was. They never sweat.
It wasn't quite enough to cover the spread, though. Not with that late South Carolina score.
So what did they ultimately win by?
Let's see. Final score for Alabama and
47-23, so 24 points.
Yeah, with a 25.5 point spread.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But again, I think that's the it doesn't, like, that's a garbage time touchdown. Alabama blew him out. And I think you still, Alabama, because of that offense, I think this still deserves to be the number one team in the country. But that 23 points is a bigger number than you're used to seeing with Alabama. And I think there's a reason for that. And it's partially the lack of experience they have on the defense, particularly in the front seven.
I've got Auburn number three.
Okay, I've got A&M number three.
Got A&M number four.
Yeah, I'm not. I think that who's Auburn play this weekend?
Oh, it's them. It's
yeah.
From College Station, we will have Auburn at Texas A&M, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS.
What's the line on that game?
I haven't seen it yet.
I really like A&M to win that game.
Do you like A&M to win that game? I'm going to set it right now in my head at 6.5.
Oh, you think it would be that big?
Yeah. A&M's a good like football. You're not all alone in this, like, Texas A&M's a really good football team. It feels like it because the conversation about Auburn, Alabama, and LSU is much more lively, and those are teams that have won the SEC West and played for SEC championships, while Texas A&M has not won the SEC West or played for an SEC championship during its limited time. But I don't think that
early line looks like A&M minus four.
Four,
and I kind of like A&M on that. For whatever reason, I know it's not a key number, but 6.5 is a little scarier. But it might get up to 6.5.
Yeah.
Because I might not be alone there. But I do like A&M. I like A&M there.
Okay. And then Mississippi State 5, Ole Miss 6, Arkansas 7.
Yeah.
WTF Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
No, I mean, I think that I wasn't like overly shocked that they lost to Kansas State. I think Kansas State's pretty good. And I think Mississippi State is, I mean, they were playing their backup quarterback. They're still playing without all these, you know, a couple key defenders that are messing around through suspensions. So I think that's a defensible loss by Mississippi State. And I still think they're a tier above the Ole Miss Arkansas group.
And Arkansas definitely number 7. No chance that you're going to bump them out there, even with Ole Miss being what it is.
Well, I mean, Ole Miss beat them and should have beat them worse than they did.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
So, you know,
head to
gotta
head.
Do that.
All right. Now it's time. You wanted to hold it off. The
old wild
spaghetti Western, the shootout. Everyone's holding guns to each other's head. It's a total standoff.
All right. Oklahoma's one.
Texas is 2.
And Texas, I think you got to say, is 2. All right. Now comes the WTF tier. Whew. All right. Who do you have 3?
Oklahoma State. Feel Me good too. About it, too.
Yeah. I like Oklahoma State 3 because they have – I mean, they're still – their defense is still an Oklahoma State defense, but they do have a quarterback. They do have a big play, potentially every play, in Tylan Wallace. And they have, let's see, I'm just scanning it real quick. Yeah, they got the best back in the conference in Chuba Hubbard. I mean, that is a fun offense.
Yeah, I mean, I just you go Sanders, Hubbard, Wallace, and that is one of the like most fun little trios that you could have in terms of your quarterback, your running back, and your wide receiver. And Mike Gundy's sitting there with the video game controls. It is video game offense in the sense that I really only want 3 players to touch the ball, and those 3 players can put up 50 points a game together.
I mean, this weekend, this is a great weekend.
It is.
Oklahoma State, Texas is that. I mean, that's going to tell us a lot.
I think
I see that going any number of ways.
I might pick Oklahoma State in that game.
There is.
Oh, I was thinking about that name. Hey, if you're Florida State, would you go make a run at Mike Gundy?
Well, yeah, I thought about him too, but how many, like, is Mike Gundy really going to keep on doing this? Keep on flirting with it just feels like that is just another charade for Mike Gundy to get more money. And if I'm Florida State, do I want to fire Willie Taggart to engage in a Mike Gundy charade to meet Mike Gundy in the Dallas airport? I don't know. I don't think I'm that fired up to do that.
That's if they enter into that process with or without, you know, any conversations with Mike Gundy, I'd give them a look, you know? I mean, I also assume that Mike Gundy could just retire, you know, like after this season and just be, I'm going to go hunt rattlesnakes on Saturdays instead of having to worry about coaching football. But he might be able to recognize that, you know, he leads Oklahoma State, let's say, to the Big 12 championship game this year. And they don't win it, but they got there. That stock's going to be pretty high for Mike Gundy. And if he wants to get one last big, like, payout, I don't know if it would come from a massive, you know, lifetime extension at Oklahoma State. That kind of feels like you're setting yourself up to eventually have people get sick of you, right? Like he's already crossed a couple thresholds that most coaches don't even hit. And so I guess it kind of depends on how you want not the final, but at least probably the later stages of your professional career to go.
Right. But he's got a few kids that are in, I think, high school, and it's my and he's got a redshirt freshman, Spencer Sanders, at quarterback, who's might be his best quarterback. It's early. It's game three, but
he can run, boy. That's it's so different than Mason Rudolph.
Wouldn't be surprising if he turns out to be the best quarterback Mike Gundy's had.
Yeah.
So would you want to abandon that? I don't know. Who you got for?
Iowa State.
Yeah, and hey, I'm an Iowa State believer, and I don't. I'm not a loss by 1 point to Iowa. It means basically nothing to me.
Right.
They're basically exactly who I thought they were. They're gonna beat Iowa by three or less, or lose by three or less. And hey, they lost by three or less. Okay, they're who we thought we were. So
Iowa won with a punt. It doesn't get any more Iowa Iowa State than winning with a punt.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, I would be fine with putting them four. However, I went TCU here for. And Shewa Olanolua and Darius Anderson got loose on Purdue. Okay, but that's, you know, Purdue's going to probably have a few other guys that rush for a lot of yards. I think Max Duggan is going to become a really good quarterback for them as he gets more and more time. And I think that Gary Patterson's defense is going to be really good this year. I feel like there's a little more there for me to trust in TCU, even with a smaller sample size than Iowa State. So I've got them four, but I have no – but this is where we're at in terms – like I would be fine flipping any of this Oklahoma State-Iowa State tier. Like that all is – I'm comfortable with any order of those three.
That's not where I draw. I draw the line after Iowa State.
At Baylor?
And I don't know about TCU and Baylor. That's – I've got TCU as my five, Baylor as my six. And I don't think that I've got a great handle on either one of those teams, but I believe them to be below Oklahoma State and Iowa State and then above Kansas State and Texas Tech.
Yeah. See, here's the hard thing about for a school like Texas. Like, again, Oklahoma, I think, is a clear tier above.
Right.
And Texas is really good. I mean, they may be a top 10 team in the country, but I'm not sure if Texas is really good enough to sweep Oklahoma State, TCU, Iowa State, Baylor, and I'm going to put Kansas State in there too.
Sure.
I mean, that's what's so tough about the Big 12 is the middle of the conference, I think, is by far the best middle of the conference in the country. You know, like who I may be like the Big 10 if you believe some of these Michigan states, Maryland's, Iowa's, I mean, that maybe the Big Ten, but man, I'm pretty scared of Oklahoma State, TCU, Iowa State, Baylor, Kansas State as a middle of the conference.
I would lean if I'm taking the Iowa, Michigan's, and Maryland going up against, you know, Iowa State, TCU, Baylor, Kansas State. I do think Big Ten gets the edge there, but I think that's what makes the Big 12 and the Big Ten two of the stronger conferences from what we've seen so far.
Yeah. So, Baylor, but because that's the reason I got to thinking that is like just you talked about, you know, not being sure how you rank TCU, Baylor. Like that's another one where I mean, Texas has got to survive against Oklahoma State, but they got to survive against Baylor later in the year. I think that game's at Waco. They got to survive against TCU. They got to survive. Texas.
It's better
because they got that big target on their back, and they got they are the burnt orange and the flagship program and all that. I mean, never mind they're good, and that's going to put a target on their back. But it's Texas, and that's going to put a target on their back. And there's a bunch of teams that are capable of tooling up and winning a big game.
But that's what you want that. Like you,
sure.
You want that if you are Texas and you're trying to reestablish yourself as a national power. You want those to be really good tests. You don't want your time of supremacy to be at the expense of the Big 12 being good or, you know, everyone was bad, so Texas backed into a Big 12 championship. Like in the era of the Big 12, it's mostly been Oklahoma, and it's only, you know, Texas's inability to escape some of these losses that you're talking about that have prevented the Longhorns from winning more outright conference titles than they have. And I think that it is good for Texas as a way to test itself and to continue to grow stronger with the fact that they're going to have to go on the road with a big old target on their back, because that's how you get used to being the big boy. That's how you build up sort of the identity that's going to allow you to be dominant on a year in, year out basis.
I agree. Yeah. You welcome that. Bring it on.
Let's go.
But that's, and that's why the Big 12 is probably the conference that's going to be the most fun in all of college football this year.
So I've got, I guess that's Iowa State 4, TCU 5, Baylor 6, Kansas State 7.
I have Kansas State 7. Yep.
Texas Tech 8.
Yeah.
West Virginia. Kansas.
Yeah. And oh, I forgot. I didn't even put Kansas on mine.
Dude, they got it. Power 5 win.
That's right. You could make a case. You can make a case for them.
The bottom.
Make a case for Texas Tech last.
So
then you remind yourself Kansas lost to Coastal Carolina the week before. But
Kansas State just beat an SEC team. West Virginia just beat an ACC team. And Kansas just beat an ACC team. The bottom of the Big 12 got Power 5 wins, two of them on the road this weekend.
Best conference in college football.
Best conference in college football. So much fun. Oh, all right. We will be back later this week. We're taking deep dives into Georgia, Notre Dame, Auburn, Texas A&M, all of that. You want to make sure that you subscribe to the Cover 3 podcast so that you can get all those episodes first. You can follow Barton Simmons on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Barton, thank you very much.
Deserved.